we cross our hands. She was able to do that.
Mm.
And she, as I say, Baha Baba was really fantastic. Mm. She really died at Baba's heart. So then I was free, you see. I was completely free. And with Norina, I used to, she did a lot of work, but Norina was having terrible trouble with her husband. He was absolutely against Baba.
This was the prince.
Prince. The prince was very much against Baba. And accused Norina of not only being, not only of this outrageous longing, running after this, what he called a pati or something, and having a young girl like myself following, which was being seduced by this terrible.
How old were you?
Now we won't go into age. Let me continue. And I was young. I couldn't have been old. And then, Baba, I went to art school. I was very free. I felt very free. Because all of a sudden, I wasn't tied by parents, you see. And with Norina, it was very exciting because we were meeting. And she thought I had such talent. And then I had to do this and do that. And I used to take care of a little cat. And I used to go up to her home. And the prince would come home. And instead of being Norina there, I was there with the cat, which made him furious. He loved Norina very deeply. I can't go into the detail of what their personal life was like. But she decided that she would leave everything and go to Baba. And I was free. So I went to art school, and there I began my art career. When a telegram came and said, Elizabeth, Norina, and Anita to meet in Genoa at this date. That was 1933. And at that time, Baba had already come before, so I don't know how many months before he'd come, and it was the moment, you know, that had gone. What year was it when they went out to the Hollywood Bowl?
32,
wasn't it? Maybe it was 32. I don't want to go into detail, you know, so much about Hollywood Bowl and all that, but I was very upset because I thought I wouldn't listen. And you see, I wanted to show you ignorance, our ignorance, of what the interior life, what silence was, what it meant to accept the destiny and put it to Baba, our destiny. When Baba speaks of the beginning of our interior voyage, which in the beginning we're totally unconscious of, which with time has become, for me, one of the most beautiful and exciting happenings of Baba, which was told in a very, very, it happened in Myrtle Beach while I sat there and Baba explained about an ant that's crawling on the floor and how we sat in this chair conscious, how the ant is only conscious of that floor, nothing else, very petty, very small. And then we, conscious of sitting in this chair and being aware of the room, being aware of where we came from, how our consciousness deepened, and how then with playing and things were happening, how our consciousness stilled. That was the beginning, in a way, of already realizing another form of consciousness, isn't it? So then when we came to India, the time of the East-West gathering, and Baba sat there. Then he spoke about the inner journey. And I suppose just that there are hills and mountains, and there's this and that, and the beauty and the non-beauty. That are the subtleties of our inner self. And that inner self begins to take on many ways. Many, many ways. So that, let's say that we're intolerant. We're not conscious of our intolerance. It's probably one of the mountains and one of the difficulties if you put it in the physical way, that you have when you're walking. If suddenly you're confronted with that intolerance with the person, you either can go silent or you try to understand it. But Baba gives you something more. When he says, we've seen disagreeable people around us and we didn't care when Baba was there. And when we were alone, we said, Baba, how can you let this person take so much of your time? This is really awful. Why? And Baba would sadly look and he'd say, I'm in her too. Which is an amazing statement. So when that person is this happening, and you suddenly think, Baba said, I'm in her too, how to wait that the lovely side of Baba can come out? What to do to bring that out so that immediately the Baba in you and the Baba in the other person responds, even if he's low or high. But as we have covered ourselves with so many colors of different... We have covered ourselves with so many colors of differences. We haven't got the patience. We don't know what to do. So immediately our selfishness, let's call it, has the upper hand. But when I'm irritated, and I hear my beloved Baba say, Anita, I'm in him too. Oh, I say, Baba, let me have the patience that I can see you even in the low. So easy to see in the high, but to see you in the low because of all this. But it's so small, it's so tiny. We haven't got the energy nor the time. Those are the things that afterwards have meant a great deal to me. What Baba, as I say, calls the inner journey. Now, when I was in that East-West gathering, I was in great sadness and great despair. Because we had been terribly spoiled by Baba, by the intimate side of Baba. Let's say the family, the Baba's family, in a way. We were, in a way, his family. I'd be so happy, so childish. I'd say such naughty things. I would make Baba laugh himself that he would make him almost start coughing. And when he would begin to cough, I'd say, that's what you get for talking too much. You see? So Baba would laugh even more. But I always felt when I was with Baba, here there was everybody coming to want this and want that and to pull him. And then there was a man that Baba... I say, Baba, isn't that absurd? Here I am. You are who you are. And yet, I'd like to put my arms around you to comfort you because I feel you're tired. And Baba said, yes, that's because you love me. And that was what it was. I can go on for lots of things, but I don't want to go into all the details of this because it would take days and days of all those remarkable moments, which I call the golden days. There were golden days where Baba walked with us, played with us. We didn't think of all the things that were going to happen in our own lives, the enrichment also. So when I came to the 1962 gathering, I was miserable. Because I looked at Baba, the physical body, and I saw that he didn't look well. And there was a distance, coming in that hall. And I saw on right and left people doing this, doing that. It was as if you were entering an office, and at the very end would be the president. But when I'd come in, I couldn't say Baba. I'd have to say Mr. President, even though I knew Baba. I call that the impersonal side, which had to be brought home to me through great, let's tell the truth, unhappiness. But with it also, to be able afterwards, in this impersonal side, my connection with others of all standards, which I at the moment didn't realize, but afterwards, when I sat there and looked at Baba and I saw that impersonal side where the family could be around Baba doing all sorts of things and being together, but when Baba sat in that chair as the avatar, he was something different. And I had to realize that. It wasn't easy. I didn't want it. I didn't care. I still today say, oh. And I know that's my personal selfishness, because it was like walking in paradise. And I didn't want to accept the difficult road. But now, with time, going back, this impersonal side is taking a grandeur. This impersonal side is taking a great beauty. The beauty which I saw in Baba, which I couldn't express when I saw him physically. I always saw great beauty in Baba. Now that beauty, as if I can feel it in most people when they're working that little magic in themselves, which could be the impersonal side. And in that way, I was able to try to understand what is the avatar, which it was a great difficulty for me. And it's a continuation, it's a growth, it's an evolution, it's a great evolution in yourself and out of yourself. Now, in art, as I've always painted, I've always continued painting. Why do I paint? Baba always told me to paint. Don't worry, just sit and paint. Has been a very great way of the silence in me works. The silence is something, even if it's 3 or 4 minutes, I have to sit there. Works of art, it's very rare. You know, works of art are very rare. Great poets are very rare. It's not a naturalism. Because something happens between the canvas and you. Van Gogh said once, to run after beauty and never catch it. You're always running, but you never catch it. I wanted to tell you about Adi when I was here in India, that East and West meeting. Adi came to fetch me with the day Baba received us. And Adi came and fetched me to bring me back to my hotel. And it was lovely, that drive. I remember Adi and I were alone, and the girls had put a sari on me and for Baba. And then I came with Adi to the hotel. And I said, Adi, what is art? And Adi said, the road to God, which opens. Certain words are tremendous keys. They open. They're little keys that open big doors. That was a little key that opened a very big door. So I've continued always with that. And I will read something that Baba said. I love artists because through art one can express oneself. When art, inspired with love, leads to higher realms. Love art, and that art will open for you the inner life. When you are lost in it, your ego diminishes. Love infinite appears, and when love is created, God is attained. So you can see how art can lead me to infinite God. Now, if there are any questions you would like to...
Yes. You were saying that the inner journey was the confrontation of the negative tendencies within yourself?
Not only negative, all tendencies. Well, I think it's something you have to experience for yourself. For instance, you have love, you have hate, you have greed, what Bob would call these greed, avariciousness, all these are the mountains or the lakes or the, I don't know how to put it, that's my imagination.
Yeah, you
see, well, you see, so I wanted, sometimes you are hurt, there's no reason to be hurt. Why are you hurt? Why are you not satisfied? Why are you not this? There's reasons in you, these continual reasons in you that are, that must be looked at. So you mustn't put your foot into this, not into the other person's, let's say, difficulty, but in your own difficulty, so that you are master of that. If you see your own avariciousness and you see it really, really, I mean, but once you see it, well, you begin to say, I have to do something about it. You know, the things that have greatly helped me always, the thing I thought was so beautiful. And Baba said, I have not come to teach. I have come to awaken. There's a physical awakening, isn't it? Well, when you're sleeping and you're suddenly awake and you're in the dark, when you switch on the light, that's a physical, that's a low happening. And then when you're awakened to spiritual truths, to goodness and all kinds of inner happenings, that is the beginning of a real awakening. And then you're awakened, could I say, to your inner things that are not very good. Then you begin to work on yourself. You begin to see. But if you just take it physically, the awakening, then you already begin to say, well, there's a book there. I want to read this book. I want to do this. I want to do that. That's a physical awakening. But when a spiritual awakening happens, then it seems as if the world begins to speak to you. The world is opened. Something else is happening. Things that are real are given and received in silence. Now, I thought, each day I think that is so beautiful. Because we had that naive understanding of thinking that Baba had to speak through a physical word. But Baba is a spiritual truth. It's not the physical word. It's the inner word. Silence has its sound. I don't know if you've ever been in the country where there's no noise at all. And it disturbs you because the silence, there's such a silence that it disturbs you for a while. And I've often thought of that silence. We were so naive in the beginning, so grossly minded, that we thought of this Hollywood Bowl. When I think of it now, it seems to me it was such a low, vulgar idea in us all that Baba could go and speak, a being of that quality, to say what? So now, when I think of Baba's silence and what it means and what this word is, it's a tremendous joy. Because we all have our silence. We all have the word that has to be spoken to. It may be collective, I don't know. But we are being with Baba not as collective things, but the spiritual awakening that's in us. And that spiritual awakening will give us the word, will give us the happening. So there. I don't know if I made it clear.
Very, very. Thank you.
Then make it clear.
Now, I mean, you knew Baba personally in the form, and you have such an intimate relationship with him.